On this edition of Oski Talk, we talk about how only one Big Ten team made the Sweet 16, and we give our thoughts to why. We also preview the Illini baseball and softball's first home weekends this weekend against Northwestern and Minnesota, and get into a little spring football talk as Brett Bielema joins the show with a quote about Ayo Dosunmu and football. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
Court for the win in the air. It is up and it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Imanu Abebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone in person, so I can really say with Patrick Catazone. Pat, good to have you with me.
Hey, it's good to finally be together after, when was the last time?
We had, yeah, I think so.
Oh, no, we did it together over the summer.
Oh, yeah, we did one with Ayo interview. Yeah. And unfortunately, he has played his last game for Illinois. We do not have an Illinois game to recap. Like we talked about last time, Illinois lost to Loyola. They won't be in the Sweet 16, but the Sweet 16 is set. Nine Big Ten teams made the tournament. Only one advances to the Sweet 16. That's Michigan. It's their fourth straight. What do you think the reason is for the Big Ten struggles?
I mentioned it last week a little bit about refereeing and how I thought maybe they were too soft, where they called too many things and they made the league soft, and that when mid-majors come in and they try and shake things up and they try and make it difficult on you, they want to play physical basketball. So when that happens and those situations happen, you're just not ready for March. And I think the Big Ten is suffering from that. Oh, there's other things too. Look, I mean, they beat each other up all year.
Yeah.
They really did. There was no clear. Next year will be very different, I think, in terms of Big Ten. There were so many good teams that they really beat the crap out of each other this year. And frankly, I think a lot of these teams weren't consistent. Illinois certainly was not a consistent team this year. I actually said it. I want to say 2 weeks or a week before the Big Ten tournament, I said, "Man, I'm really nervous because we're on this hot streak right now without Ayo." And all year we have not been consistent. We've dropped a game like every seven games we dropped a game.
And I was a huge game too.
After a huge game, yeah, we'd win and then we drop a game and it was like and then we'd keep on winning and then drop a game and I was like like the consistency's not there. We're kind of consistently winning. It was like going into March we are red hot.
Yeah,
that's not good for an inconsistent team.
I agree. I think statistically, law of averages, whatever you want to say, the more and more you win, the closer you are to your next loss. Which is part of the reason I am going to savor the Big Ten championship, without a doubt. But part of me wanted to see this team lose in the Big Ten tournament, so then you'd have that extra motivation, because this team can win six games in a row, but can they win 15? Because they went into the tournament winners 7 of 8, or eight in a row, to go into the tournament. And that's tough, to win 14, 15 games in a row. It's a lot easier to win six, lose one, and then win another six. So I'm not blaming Illinois losing on winning the Big Ten championship. I'm not an idiot. I know that's not why. But like you said, for a team that showed some inconsistencies all year long, the more and more you win, the closer you are to those inconsistencies coming out. Then you look around the rest of the Big Ten. Iowa, they haven't played defense all year. I wasn't totally surprised that Oregon just out-muscled them the entire game. Sad to see Luka Garza and Ayo go out before the Sweet 16, but that's always tough. Ohio State ran into a great story in Oral Roberts. I actually picked that one in one of my brackets because I saw they're the best three-point shooting team in the country. They're the fourth free-throw shooting team in the country, and they have the highest score in the country. So I knew that they could pull off an upset.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to see them in the Sweet 16. And then, you know, you look at your Rutgers and your Maryland. They won a game, lost a game. They weren't that great all season long. But Ohio State, Iowa, and Illinois losing the way they did were surprising to a lot of people, myself included. And then, you know, you look at a team like Michigan, who pretty much was the best team in the Big Ten, and now you can hardly even dispute that. They're the only team left dancing.
Yeah, and I want to mention this, too. I think the Big Ten plays old-school basketball. This is my last, I think, reason why the Big Ten's not doing well in the tournament was Big Ten just plays that old-school basketball where they have positions, right? They have a center. They have a forwards. They don't have the positionless players. And I think basketball has moved on into, you know, the smaller lineups with guys who are bigger but are able to shoot anywhere on the floor. You have guys who are stretch, you know, you got big guys playing point guard, stuff like that. Like you got guys who are 6'6", 6'7", playing point guard, shooting guard. You know, it's bigger in those positions but smaller at the forward positions where they can hit threes as well, and play that stretch four, stretch five role. And the Big Ten just doesn't play that kind of they don't play that kind of basketball yet. So I think when you enter March and start playing non-conference again, it's a little bit of shock. Like, you can't go to what you were thinking. And I think we saw around the tournament teams like that, Missouri, a team that really plays the numbers.
Beat us.
They beat us. They did not do well in the tournament.
Mm-mm.
And certainly the one team that I thought would do well because I feel like they're fairly positionless is Ohio State, and they just got hit by Oral Roberts. That was a bad matchup. That just sucks. Like they're the one team I'm excusing from all this just because
it's March.
It's March. Also, that Oral Roberts should not have been the 15th seed. They probably were closer to like a 12. So
and I'd argue the same with Loyola. They probably should have been a 6 or a 7.
Oh, they should have been a 4, I thought. I mean, top 20 team or at least top 25 team in the country. That's a 5. That's a 5.
It should be. I mean, they were ranked 17. If you think about it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, they're the best 5 seed. That's what it should have been.
Right, and that's no excuse for Illinois. They should beat the 5 seed, right?
Yeah, if you want to be the 1 seed, you got to beat the 5 seed. Or the 8, whoever you play.
But. Right, but of all the excuses, those are my 3 for why everything happened. Look, I enjoyed the season. Illinois is back.
Can't take anything away from that.
Yeah, they were Big Ten tournament champions. That's a huge step forward for Illinois. It's baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I like I said in the last episode, I felt like we were robbed of NCAA tournament experience by a pandemic nobody saw coming.
True.
And now we have that experience this year, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Io for his entire career.
Notify,
baby. an Illinois legend that, you know, he means a lot.
Like he made college better.
Yes,
and that's the way I described it to a lot of people. You know, some people are like, why do you like Io so much? He's just a player. But he's way more than just a player. First of all, he's a classmate, a friend, and then he's a savior of a program, really. I mean, you could give a lot of credit to Brad, a lot of credit to Trent, but they don't get where they are without Io, and nobody's going to testimony that. So he made a huge difference, like you said, brought Illinois back, and I think now they have an opportunity to sustain that and stay relevant, and that's the greatest gift you could give a fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly brought Illinois back to prominence, and like, he's the Illinois boy who stayed home, so I'll always be grateful for Io. I don't think the tournament stains his legacy, because I think his legacy always was to bring that, you know,
I'll get you to the tournament.
Right. Bring us back. And he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done it last year, but he decided to come back and really make Illinois relevant again. Number 2 in the country at one point.
Yeah.
So I don't think it stains his legacy at all. And I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. And honestly, a little silver lining after, you know, all these excuses and obviously reflect that great season. Nobody's going to take that away. These guys finally get a break. After 7 months, Georgie could go home.
They were at Cam's.
Curbelo can go home. Yeah.
They were at Cam's last night.
I've seen Bobby Geekus, manager, back in the house. Get to see him now down the hall. You know, Curbelo's never been out before. You know, this is his first chance to go to Joe's.
To
be a college student. Yeah. Trent had to give up his senior year of being a college student to go play basketball. And I'm sure he would not trade it for anything in the world, but now he gets to be a college student. Because for a lot of their career, you do that simultaneously. You're a basketball player, you're a student, you get to interact with the fans. Like,
yeah.
Georgie, is a guy that I feel like really, really thrives off of fan interaction. And he didn't get to do that for 7 months. Now he gets to see people, high-five people, bring his energy out onto the campus. I know they were playing spike ball in the quad the other day. And after, like, 2 years, Georgie could probably go home now. Like, yeah. That's a huge thing. And obviously, they wish they were still playing. We wish they were still playing. But there's a silver lining in all this.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I'm disappointed. Like, I'm disappointed by the way the season ended.
Me too.
I don't want to be beating the whole, oh, it's okay, drum.
Nope.
It's not. It sucks.
We should be
and I'm not,
playing.
Yeah, and I'm not discouraging that. But there certainly is positive, not positives, but a silver lining to all this. Yeah, it's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. We'll switch to some lighter news. With one season ending, you've got some other ones beginning. I know they've been going on for a while, but this weekend is the first home weekend of games for baseball and softball. Softball 10-2, off to a really good start. Sydney Sickles is pitching like All-American type stuff right now. She's got an ERA as below one. It's incredible what she's been doing. They'll take on Minnesota this weekend for a four-game set, one on Friday, two Saturday, and one Sunday. I believe same schedule in place for baseball against Northwestern this weekend as well. Or no, they have just three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Their first time at home. With the news that the Big Ten is allowing some fans this spring, I mean, that's three pieces of good news all wrapped in one.
Yeah, I'm excited to go, honestly. Probably go see a softball game first. I love baseball, but they are playing out of their minds right now. Just want to say, I mean...
they're off to the best start in, I think, 8-9 years.
Yeah, and talked to Tyra Parrott earlier this year. It was pretty clear she was excited about this team. Sucks that it's during COVID again.
Yeah,
it's just another one of those situations. But they've certainly adapted well playing down in Leesburg. I mean, when you take 10 of 12... against tough competition in the Big Ten, especially...
Yeah, it's all conference.
Especially beating up on Michigan, which clearly we were good at doing that week. it is impressive. And then going back and sweeping Penn State last weekend. So I'm excited to go back to Urbana and go to Eichel... I can't say that.
Eichelberger Field.
Eichelberger. It's such a tough name.
Yeah, and then the other one's just Illinois Field.
So dumb.
Yeah, and the baseball team gets back this week, their first home series in well over a year. Pitching staff, they're still kind of sorting through. You know, Tyra Barczyk's getting some starts. I think Aiden Maldonado is still not in the rotation. They're working through some things there, but the hitting has finally began to come alive. Brandon Camilla's looking like his former self. Cam McDonald's getting involved. Both catchers, Ryan Hampe and Jacob Campbell, have been destroying the baseball, and Taylor Jackson leading off has been able to set the table. So they'll be in action for some Illinois fans and family to see this weekend. That'll be fun. I'll be on the call for two of Saturday's games for softball and then the Sunday game over at Eichelberger. So get to BTN Student U if you want to hear my voice a little bit more. But that's some good news in the spring. It's, you know, what the other thing spring brings is spring football.
Wait, really quick, Anthony, because I'm not positive. Do you know how you get into Illinois Field this weekend or Eichelberger?
I haven't seen the for sure announcement. I know I can go to baseball because my brother is a catcher and I'm family. I'd have to keep the mask on. But I think there's obviously a limited supply of tickets. I got to try to find the they made a post about it for the spring. And they're also going to do fans for the spring football game coming up, too. So once we get some more word on that, we'll make sure to pass that along to you guys just so you guys know how to get to those games. Because seeing Illinois, some orange and blue in person, has got to be something, you know, we've waited a long time to do.
Yeah, two great teams, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, the football team can turn into one of those great teams. Spring football has begun. Brett Bielema and the new squad is in place, working these guys, working them hard. From what it looks like, they're going to be in great shape come the fall. A lot of hype around, you know, the new regime. A lot of players who returned. I think they got a chance to be a pretty strong team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's a different look. And I mentioned, I want to connect this back to basketball and the fact that I think Bielema is less old school than I think a lot of people would think. And that starts with Tank Wright. Lou Hernandez built guys to be strong, I think, but it wasn't necessarily like that dynamic strength, which is what it takes to be good in the in college football.
Oh yeah.
So whereas Lou used to be a premier strength and conditioning coach in the way the style that he coached.
Mm-hmm. He was good at what he did.
It's changed.
Right.
So Tank Wright comes in, and you have you hear news like things like Isaiah Gay. What was it? He put on 17 pounds of muscle and lost 3 pounds of body fat.
He's lean.
Yeah, which he got bigger, clearly, but he's lean, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like, it's shocking. Like, you hear that stuff, and you're like, how? Why didn't that happen earlier?
Yeah, why really wasn't that being done?
That was Isaiah Gay's problem, was that, well, for one, there's a couple problems, I thought, with his game. One, I think he's an outside linebacker playing defensive end. So under the 3-4, we'll see if they switch to that this year. It's still not unclear whether or not they do that, but if they do switch to 3-4, and I think they list him as an outside linebacker. Him standing up rushing, I think, is going to bring a whole different element to his game. So I'm excited for that. But the other problem I thought was just wasn't dynamic enough. So if Bielema can do that defensively, and Ryan Walters as well, who has had great, great press conferences so far.
Yeah, and Bart. I love Bart.
Yeah, Bart Miller, of course. They've had two great press conferences so far. If Walters can bring that dynamic play to Isaiah Gay, it's a whole new window for what he can do. And I think they'll probably run a multiple D, give some 4-2-5 looks as well, some 3-4 looks. They'll kind of switch in.
Yeah, they originally
how many linebackers they want.
Bielema kind of originally said we're gonna run 3-4. And
they backtracked it.
And has just backtracked to just like, we're going to do what we do. Like,
yeah.
I think they could run 2-5 if they want to. They've talked about that. I mean, so there's a lot of options for this defense. And if Tank has them that lean where, you know, a D lineman can drop back in coverage because he's quick enough, or a linebacker can, you know, come in and blitz. Like, obviously that's something that happens a lot, linebackers blitz, but just if these guys are, like you said, more dynamically strong on the defensive side of the ball, it opens up a lot of windows for them to explore.
Yeah, and I think the best part of Ryan Walters is his coverage. He teaches great technique. So that's where it gets dangerous. You're just like, well, if you could teach great technique, you're like, well, we could start blitzing more.
Which would be nice.
It would be nice.
Seems like, you can say whatever you want. Last year, the secondary was bad. We probably talked about it every episode that we recapped the game. But part of it is the pass rush was bad. And when you give a quarterback a lot of time to throw and run around and move, receivers are going to get open. So if you mix that good technique with some more people blitzing, it should make it a lot harder for opposing offenses, or at least that's the plan.
It should. It should. And we'll see what Walters brings defensively. He was a great hire, I'm glad that Bielema has done what he's done so far. I've been impressed. Something to be said about just kind of having a comeback story. So I think that'll resonate well, and hopefully he'll continue and bring some success to Illinois.
Yeah, and part of what Bielema has brought is a commitment to in-state recruiting. I saw a text tweet of one of the players Illinois is pursuing, getting a text from 6 Illinois coaches all around the same time, because he's playing high school football in the spring. So it said, good luck tonight, good luck tonight. Hey, it's Coach B, good luck tonight, good luck tonight. And just that kind of commitment is something that they want. But Brett Bielema mentioned...
Something that has not been yet.
That too, absolutely. It's something that's been missing. Brett Bielema is committed to bringing it to the program. And something else he's been looking for is something that we talked about, something the basketball team did get, is... an IO, somebody to resurrect the program, an in-state kid to just commit to being Illinois. I want to go to Illinois. I want to be at Illinois. I want to be great at Illinois. It's what IO did, and Brett Bielema said the football team is looking for that. And here's Brett Bielema talking about how the team is looking for their IO. Say what?
Say what?
But we've reached out to I would tell you this, too. That outreach that we made to 500 high school coaches across the state has been invaluable, not only just for the resource and to reach out and have the goodwill of Illinois football in the Illinois high school system, but to be the state school, to be represented as a University of Illinois and talk to those high school coaches, and now to talk to those high school players about what we want to try to do here. And then, you know, to have a story like IO to turn around the basketball program and You know, one of the comments that we've really played up was when he made the comment to stay in his home state and change the direction of the Illinois basketball program. We've used that repeatedly. Iowa probably doesn't know how much we've used it as a football program to kind of share that same message. I'm looking for that IO. I'm looking for that guy in the state right now out of this 2022 class that can help us change the direction of this program for a long time.
So here's, I'm glad he says this, but to me, the IO is already on the team. It's
okay.
It's Juice. It's Isaiah Williams.
Yeah, St. Louis.
St. Louis, but he's the IO. He's the guy who came to Illinois as a high four star, borderline five. He was a five when before he committed to Illinois, which is classic. he was the guy that I thought was going to resurrect the program for Lovie, and I just don't think Lovie's heart was in Illinois ever. He did.
Yeah, have fun in Houston, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'd hate to be in Houston right now.
Nothing is good.
No.
For that team.
No. No, I'd switch to be a Cowboys fan if I was in Houston. But besides the point, the guy who committed the year after Io did and had the same amount of hype was Isaiah Williams. And I'm nervous that Brett doesn't see that or that Tony Peterson doesn't see
that. That's what I'm saying. I'm mad Brandon came back. I think Brandon's going to be the starter and Isaiah's going to be buried again, and we're not going to see what he has until the end of the year when we realize Brandon isn't the guy.
That's
just what happened last year. How many times did we do a podcast and say, it's clear he's the guy for next year? He brings his team a spark. He's what this team needs. More modern offense. A, B, C, D checks all the boxes. But Peters gets the start. And I like Brandon Peters. I think he's a more talented thrower of the football. Probably has a little bit better football IQ. But he just doesn't have that it factor that Isaiah does, that Io does.
Exactly.
And it's something that I'm with you. I think the coaching staff might not see what we see. And granted, we could be totally wrong. We're not coaches. But I want to see Isaiah get his shot. I know it's a new offense, but I think we know what this team is with Brandon. You know, you could win a bowl game. You could go to a bowl game at least. But I think Isaiah might be able to put us over that hump, and we might not ever know.
Yeah. And I think that in terms of the recruitment sell, and I will say this before I get into anything. Tony Peterson said it was going to be a battle to the end. So I'm going to trust him there. He said, I believe what he said is truthful. He's waiting till the end to figure out who he's going to start. But in terms of recruitment pitch, it's got to be this. It's Aidosumu brought University of Illinois to a Big Ten championship. You can do the same in football. And I as long as you get those guys who are at the most important position, I think, quarterback, linebacker, you know, big the special positions, where leadership is important, you'll get that, and you could have a team get brought into the Big Ten championship.
Right, and it doesn't look good when the one person on your team that fits that mold is sitting behind a guy who transferred from Michigan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And I don't blame Peters for wanting to come back.
Oh yeah,
and
it made total sense
to me it's Peterson, and I'm like I said, the indication right now is that's going to be Peters.
That's how it looks.
That can change, and we'll see in spring. We'll see in spring ball. To me, the only part of the missing game for Isaiah Williams is the long ball accuracy. If you could fix that and the medium throw accuracy, it's just an accuracy issue. Mm-hmm. You could fix that. Like, he could have that fixed by Tony Peterson. He's supposed to be a quarterback guru as well.
Yeah.
Fix it, and let's run the offense, man. And you're going to want to ground and pound. You can ground and pound with Isaiah Williams.
Yeah,
and
he's part of it.
Exactly.
It makes everything. You can't full sell on a play action because you don't know if he's going to throw it, keep it, or give it off. You know, you can add a lot of aspects to it. And, yeah, I mean,
modern-day football, man.
Right.
It's all about change. I know the Big Ten doesn't like to change, but, look, let's ground and pound the ball, which is old school. But let's do it in a way that brings new flair with Isaiah Williams.
And here's what I always said. If the ceiling is losing with Isaiah or losing with Brandon, I would much rather lose with Isaiah because it's a more fun brand of football to watch. Like, that's what I always said last year with the Bears. You know, Mitch wasn't the answer and neither was Foles. But the games Mitch lost were always more fun than the games Foles lost, because Mitch played a little bit more of a fun type of game of football. And I'm not trying to say that I would rather, you know, lose with Isaiah than lose with Brandon, and that's like the be-all, end-all. I want to win. I personally think Isaiah is the better option to win. I'm not a coach. I don't make that decision. We'll see what they end up saying, but I want to see Isaiah get his shot, because if he doesn't this year, I would not be surprised if he transfers to go play somewhere else. That'll give him an opportunity, and then maybe Illinois gets bit.
Maybe. And this is we still need a spring ball to see this team.
Right.
It'll be a whole new team, because I think in terms, like I said, in terms of that strength and physicality, it's something new that Illinois hasn't seen. So that's what I'm excited for. It might be old school play, but the way that we're going to do it is going to be new school. So that's exciting. And like I said, Bielema has done everything right so far. So I have no reason to doubt him yet.
Yeah, we'll keep our faith in Brett Bielema. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. For Patrick, I'm Anthony. That'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. We will be back talking to you guys on Sunday. We don't know what we'll be talking about yet. Not a ton going on. We do have baseball and softball. Hopefully they give us a lot to talk about later in the week. But for now, thank you all for listening. ILL.
I and I.